Meanwhile, the demigod Indra developed a headache due to being ignored and forgotten by the Vrijvasis. We will now describe how he tried to get relief and revenge by employing excessive rains. While sitting among the demigods, Indra felt sad and distressed seeing that his sacrifice had been canceled. Burning with rage, Indra said, "Just see how surprising it is. The intelligence of these coward men is just like the animals they tend. They stop my puja just by hearing a few words from a mere child. Even though many goddesses of learning praise me, those offensive coward men did not think twice about giving up my worship. They have been overtaken by false pride. O virtuous cowherd men, now you act deviously without any fear of anyone. Well, I will see how long it lasts. This foolish, arrogant, and talkative child has offended me. Even though you claim he satisfies your desires and gives you long, prosperous lives, we will soon see if he really is your well-wisher." Overcome by revenge and frustration, Indra considered for a moment how to retaliate against the Vrijvasis. Angry Indra then released the powerful clouds of universal destruction known as Samvartaka. Coming before their master, the clouds submitted. "We are your servants and always ready to execute your order." To encourage his servants, Indra glanced at them with affection and appreciation as he addressed them. Oh, my playful, speedy clouds, who are famous throughout the world for distributing profuse rain, your pride and your power fills me with strength. Now make me successful by carrying out my orders. You have the unadulterated mood of destroying the whole creation within you, but this assignment involves only one small region. Go shake the earth with your thunder and destroy the village of Vrindavan with a deluge. Being released from the task of devastating the universe at a particular time, Samvartaka and other servants of Indra proudly stepped forward to accomplish their mission. First, a vast bank of clouds, appearing like a huge patch of moss in the sky, blocked out the sun and covered Vrindavan in total darkness. Extending from Rasatala to Swargaloka, the cloud covering looked like the smoky breath exhaled by the naga snakes. Released from their bonds, a few ominous clouds in a sportive mood of breaking the Kedara mountain quickly spread across the sky. These dense dark clouds appeared as massive as the celestial elephants guarding the quarters of the globe. Another group of dangerous clouds circled overhead. The clouds, like Mount Mainaka, the son of the Himalayas, continually expanded and flew freely in the sky without any fear of Indra's millions of thunderbolts. One fantastically large cloud bank appeared like a second Loka Loka mountain range. The hard peaks of these clouds continued to grow higher and higher while simultaneously expanding in all directions. When the clouds collected, they covered all the planetary systems in darkness. Even the sharpest axe could not cut through the dense network of clouds that assembled over Vrindavan. The three worlds appeared to be born out of the darkness created by these ever-expanding cloud banks. The covering of the universe turned as black as the soot smeared on the bottom of a pot. However, the universal disturbance and the attack of the devastating Samvartaka cloud had practically no effect on Vrindavan, was continually bathed in the moonlight emanating from Krishna's jewel-like toenails. After earth, water, fire, air, and so on, there is a tenth element known as Andhatamasa, blinding darkness. Everything animate and inert in the ten directions appears stupefied by this element. It seemed that no one in the world could see anything. Water dripped from the dome-like covering of the universe. The water drops moved so fast that they formed the continuous stream of water speeding through the universe like a raging river breaking over its dam. Such a thing will never happen again. That torrential downpour seemed like the long-hanging branch of the banyan tree of the sky. The cows. They sheltered their calves under the blanket of loose skin on their necks. In fear of the slashing rainwater, the cows kept their eyes almost closed and their tails hanging straight down. As they shivered uncontrollably from the violent rains, the skin on their backs swelled up. While standing in this painful condition, they looked towards Krishna for shelter. When the rain hit the horns of the bulls, it bounced off and landed on their thick, fatty humps, breaking into small pearl-like drops, and then rolled down their broad, muscular backs. Alas, alas, the fierce rainfall angered and tormented the bulls. Observing the torrents of rain, which fell as thick as columns, as thick as the trunks of full-grown banana trees. The cowherd men of Vrindavan thought that the devastation had suddenly arrived. They were terrified. They were weakened. And in that state, they approached Krishna, who makes everyone happy. Full of pain and agony, they said, "O Krishna, you always save us. And you always give us happiness. Now we are in great danger. Since you are the Lord of Gokul, you should immediately protect us. Look, look. The flashing lightning bolt appeared like the forked tongues of an angry snake. The pounding hailstorms are pulverizing the life out of the trees. The lightning bolts entering the water seem like the brilliant fire emitted by mythical hydras. The clouds, they roar ferociously. As they release torrents of rain as thick as massive columns, the vast sheets of water are increasing in volume like the ocean of devastation. The earth is quickly submerging in the flood, and we cannot distinguish the high ground from below. Just look around and see for yourself. Your Sarabi cows are using their bodies to protect their calves from the pelting hailstones, and with their tear-filled eyes, they are speaking to you. O Krishna, once you saved us from the devastating forest fire, so please save us from this terrible rainfall. And look at the condition of the bulls. Hitting their humps, the heavy hailstones are being ground into pieces and they are scattering on the ground like pearls. The bulls, their eyes reddened in rage, they raise their heads to look angrily at the clouds. Their faces and bodies are completely drenched in water. Oh, how much they are suffering. This devastation seems like the personification of a big anatta which we cannot remove. Only you can deliver us. Therefore, we surrender unto you. We are your loving kinsmen, so please save us." After hearing their anxious pleas and seeing the distress of his cows, Krishna, whose blossoming lotus eyes are beautiful to behold, considered, "This must be the work of angry Indra. In a compassionate voice, sweeter than honey, Krishna consoled his family and friends. Do not be afraid. Actually, this trouble is as significant as a hunger pain is to one who has just consumed the sumptuous feast. Anyone practicing devotional service can easily remove all anartas. The Kanaras and the demigods glorify this fact. But for your benefit, I will now enact a special pastime to destroy Indra's mountain of pride. As the relisher of nectarian rasas, Krishna had a beautiful body, which is as sweet as the honey in a flower. Without even tightening his cloth, he showed complete indifference to the mighty wrath of foolish Indra. Instantly, Krishna picked up Govardhan Hill with one hand and held it aloft with no more effort than a child takes to hold a mushroom or an elephant uses to lift a clump of grass. Many loud sounds echoed in all directions when the mountain rose into the air. The echoes sounded like a bunch of rowdy children yelling within its many caves. The lifting of Govardhan Hill produced an angry, loud noise that crushed the pride of the elephants guarding the eight directions. That furious sound roamed round and around within the covering of the universe. The sound had enough intelligence to win a wager on whether it could break the long meditation of Brahma on Brahmaloka. That sound dared to interrupt the uproarious Madhuvika wine-drinking festival of the old ladies on Patalaloka. The flowers falling from the trees appeared to be the form of Giriraj's ecstatic laughter due to being touched by Krishna's lotus hand. Those falling flowers seemed to be Giriraj's celebration of the destruction of Indra's fame. Growing higher and higher, the sharp peaks of Giriraj cut the ominous cloud cover to pieces. The row of trees along the peaks of Giriraj challenged the trees in Indra's celestial forest. The lions living on top of Govardhan Hill mistook the hovering clouds for elephants, and using their powerful sharp claws, they ripped apart the cluster of the elephant clouds. In fear, the clouds ran hither and thither. Seeing Krishna holding Giriraj aloft with his left hand, Mount Kailas shivered in fright while thinking, "Hey, look, who is this covering the sky? How could this happen?" Mount Sumeru panicked, overwhelmed by fear. The elephants of the directions jumped in the Manasaganga. Giriraj served Gokul as a jewel-bedecked umbrella that could not be moved by the fierce winds or pierced by the razor-sharp lightning bolts of Indra. Balanced on the beautiful emerald pole of Krishna's raised arm, Giriraj cast a pleasing radiance upon everyone. The glimmering rain shower coming down on all sides seemed like the stream of dripping pearls. And while holding Giriraj in one hand, Krishna, whose wonderful behavior illuminates the world, he spoke convincingly to the cowherd community. "Oh, mother, do not be in anxiety. Oh, father, do not worry. Oh, friends, do not doubt my ability. Giriraj will not fall from my hand. You directly saw how he personally accepted our worship. Is it then difficult for him to remain suspended in the sky? Although Giriraj appears to be a huge, immovable mountain, he is transcendentally situated beyond the doubts and comprehension of this material world. Just see how light he is. Even a child like me can easily pick him up. Oh, just see, Giriraj is completely independent, and he's moving according to his own sweet will. In this matter, I am but an instrument. Therefore, you should collect all your property and come under the mountain. There's no difference between the village of Vrindavan and this valley below Giriraj. Be happy and stay here peacefully.